You're a wonderful congregation. It's a joy to serve God here, and those words of those songs, I hope you were singing those from your heart. It's a matter of as we look to the Lord, He shapes and transforms us to live for more, that more of Him and His purposes. And of course, God's Word speaks to that in Galatians 5:22-23. We're going to read it again. I know you've heard this every Sunday in this series, but these are profound words. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is the word of the Lord. If I ask a group of single adults what qualities they would want in a future husband or wife, and we got some out there, or maybe even some single, not so young adults, but like, hey, you know what, the right one, I'd maybe take that leap. What qualities would you say are important? And if you're wise, you'd say one of those high qualities is faithfulness. Attractiveness, it's going to fade. Income potential, that may or may not predict a good spouse. But faithfulness, now there's something you can bank on as vitally important to marriage. And of course, many people say, yeah, I'd like somebody that's faithful. And then I say to you, well, are you that type of faithful person? So today we're looking at and seeing that faithfulness, true faithfulness, results from the gospel. Faithfulness results from the gospel working in the believer's life by the power and working of the Holy Spirit as we rely on Jesus. And of course, what does Paul mean by faithfulness? And this fruit of faithfulness is where we're going today. And it doesn't just apply to the young or the person who wants to be married. It applies to all of us comprehensively in our relationship as Jesus followers. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So by the time you get into number 7, maybe you're like, oh, whatever, I'm not even sure what that means, and I don't even know if it cares. And of course, today we're going to drill down into what does this mean? And this is leaning probably more practical than many of our fruit studies, because I guess we've sort of exhausted a lot of the contextual stuff. So if you want the contextual stuff, listen to the rest of the series. But also because I think by the time we get to number 7 and we've heard faithfulness, we go, yeah, whatever. It's like, wow, this is really profoundly relevant to every person at every stage of their life and spiritual life. And it is the Spirit-shaped fruit of faithfulness. The image of fruit, of course, I don't think we can say this too much, reflects that faithfulness, as the other attributes, heart realities, behavior, traits, character, qualities, comes from the work of the Spirit. It's a result of the life of gospel grace flowing in you by the Spirit. And so that's what we're considering today in our summer fruit message. We're going to consider 4 aspects of the faithfulness this is speaking of as a fruit. And we're going to consider its relevance for our words and communication commitments. We're going to consider its relevance for marriage and other relationships. We're going to consider its relevance for all of us as a servant of the Lord, because every believer is a servant of the Lord, and faithfulness is what the Lord seeks from His servants. And we consider its relevance in little things that matter a lot. So often we write off the things that are really, really important in determining and shaping our faithfulness because they seem to us small. And the Bible says, no, the things that seem to us small are actually big. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more today about why that is true based on the Word of God. So from Galatians 5:22 in its context, and the New Testament words and passages from relating to faithfulness, and I guess we're grabbing a few Old Testament ones too, we're seeking to grow in Holy Spirit-shaped faithfulness. Now, goodness, we did that last week, faithfulness and goodness and all the other qualities. Let's look at the verse once again. The The word faithfulness addressing actions on the part of believer, behavior, character in a believer's life, not just an occasional faithfulness thing, but a comprehensive kind of faithfulness that is to be trustworthy, dependable. And especially this is looking at that trustworthy or dependableness, yes, in the context of our relationship with God, but also as it relates to the encounters we have with other people. It's not just sort of this private thing. If it's real, it is expressed in relationship. And there's a little bit there for those of you who want to kind of dive in. This is the Greek word pistis, which is a really interesting word because the vast majority of the word uses in the New Testament are of faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Paul writes here, the life I live by faith. That's this. It's that trust in Jesus. That's over 90 uses in the New Testament, pistis is translated faith. A smaller number, but still substantial, are translated the faith. That is the body of core beliefs of the Christian faith, the Christian beliefs. But there are a few, and these are consistent with the Septuagint as well, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, where pistis means faithfulness. And I submit to you Matthew 23:23 and Romans 3:3. Romans 3:3 has to be this word because it speaks of the faithfulness of God. The Bible never speaks of God having faith. He doesn't need to trust someone outside of himself, but he does have faithfulness. He has this character quality of dependability. And I will submit to you Matthew 23:23 is that same usage when Jesus says the weightier matters of the law, and the Pharisees, of course, ignore this, are mercy and justice and faithfulness. So alongside mercy and justice, Jesus likely doesn't mean faith, even though it's an important thing. He means faithfulness, a character quality of dependability, like mercy and justice, which are the weightier matters of the Old Testament. And there is then the related word pistos. If I'm boring you, I'm sorry. But this is the adjectival form of pistis, and it is used a good number of times in the New Testament, and that is faithful. So when you see faithful in your Bible, normally in the New Testament is this word pistos, just one letter different than pistis, but of course all rooted in God and the faithfulness of God. And it's a fruit. This is a fruit of God and his grace work in our life. Okay, I want to issue a warning. So the way I thought I'd do is just put warning, and I threw in a few other languages. I think that's Portuguese, am I correct? And then deference to my heritage, it's Swedish, varning. It sounds kind of like warning, which just said a little bit. And then I can't read the Arabic, but I assume that's warning because underneath it, it says warning. So why am I saying warning here? Warning, warning, warning. This is it. You will not grow in true faithfulness by trying harder at being faithful. You will not grow in true faithfulness by saying, I'm going to work a lot harder at being faithful. You say, well, how do I? Well, we're looking at today's message, which is going to tell us how you grow in true faithfulness by the gospel. You grow in true faithfulness by personal faith in Jesus and continuing in faith in Jesus. It's a work of God's grace whereby we are saved, and it's a work of God's grace whereby we grow. We grow in faithfulness and by relying on the Holy Spirit who shapes and grows us in that faithfulness. It's all by faith. All a work of God. All Jesus sets us free. We trust him. All God is the source and the Holy Spirit shapes us in it. So how then do I align myself with that? And of course, that is the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians was written to believers who had come to believe and then were being duped into a false theology of thinking, but you grow by works of the law. And Paul says, no, emphatically no, you grow by grace And you grow, of course, in faithfulness by grace. The power source is God. And I submit to you Galatians 5:13 as just one of many texts we could look at, why it is that the Galatians grow in faithfulness by grace power of God, and why we grow in faithfulness by the grace power of God. For you were called to freedom, brothers. How does one live in that freedom? It is by God. So do not use then your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. The gospel sets us free to grow in serving one another in love, and that, of course, includes in faithful love. So Paul rounds out that list in Galatians 5:23. This is all part of the warning thing. Warning, warning, warning. So you say, well, I want to look more like Jesus. Because Jesus is this list. This is Jesus. These are the character qualities of Jesus. And if I want to be a mature Christian, that is what it is. And you don't grow into being a mature Christian by working harder. I'm not saying there's nothing you do. There is something you do. But it's not you that gets the credit. It's him that gets the credit. It's all a reality of grace working by the Spirit. Now, I want to point you to Galatians 5:16. And then I want to point you to another text about looking like Jesus. Does anybody want to look like Jesus? Like, not physically, but that you want to, like, oh, Lord God, I know I don't look like Jesus, but I want to look like Jesus. How do I grow to look more and more like Jesus? We're going to say this now again. Look at Galatians 5:16. What do I do? But I say, walk by the Spirit. As you look to Jesus, trust in him, you're relying on the Spirit. You're letting him shape and direct your thinking, behavior, life. And this is a command then to continual action. This is what we lean into him. We are led by him. And that's a continual process. You do it every day when you get up, throughout the day, at the end of the day, and the next day you get up and you do the same thing again. And it's not a burdensome thing. It's a freedom thing. I'm not living for me. I'm trusting in him. And he's guiding me, growing me. So there is prayer involved, seeking his work involved, trusting him involved, confessing sin involved, reading God's word involved, gratitude involved, disciplines involved. But it's all looking to Jesus. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, 17b and 18. It is as we are beholding the Lord, that is Jesus, that we are being transformed into the same image. What's the image? The image of Jesus. From one degree of glory to another. What's that? It's step by step by step by step by step by step by step all the way to heaven. I'm told that on Ruth Bell Graham's gravestone, she was the wife of Billy Graham, it says this, construction finished. Construction finished, right? So what does that mean? Because the construction of this being transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another in the life of a believer is taking place all throughout our life. But when we are dead and with the Lord, the construction is done. So how does this happen? It happens through the working of the Spirit. So first we believe in Jesus, receive the Spirit, and then we rely on Jesus, being led by the Spirit. And all the time it is as we're looking to Jesus, beholding him, who he is, his grace, his goodness, his power, his truth, that he's doing this work of transforming us step by step by step. Let's look first at that transforming work in our words and commitments to be faithful. What do we mean by this? We mean this. When you say yes, it should be yes. When you say you're going to be there, you're there. When you give a time, that is the time. You don't need to say, I promise, I really promise. What does that reflect? Likely it reflects a lot of times you said it, and it wasn't what was true. Now, we've all been there. I certainly have. But I'm saying that in your words and commitments, faithfulness means you say what you mean what you say, and you keep the commitments you make. This is faithful words. And of course, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let your yes be yes, your no, no. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. If you have to give all kinds of qualifiers, there's something in the picture that isn't faithful. So if you're known as rather flaky, or you habitually show up late, or if you're the kind of person who is forgetting a lot, it's probably not a mental issue. I'm not saying it couldn't be. It could be. But if you can remember when the Patriots game is, and you keep your commitments related to that, then probably, or whatever the thing is you're passionate about, probably it's more a character issue. There's a faithfulness issue in play. If you're not typically on time, you forget a lot of things you say you're going to do, you don't follow through, and you're kind of known as a non-follow-through person, that's a faithfulness matter. And of course, again, remember the warning. It's not by working harder at this. It's by looking to Jesus. I need him. I trust him. Jesus, grow me, shape me, mold me, that I be faithful in my words and commitments. Let's talk about for marriage and relationship. I started out with that, that little bit of a hook, but it's for all of us, and not just for marriage, of course, because if you're a dad, you want to be a faithful dad. If you're a mom, you want to be a faithful mom. If you're a son, I hope you want to be a faithful son. A daughter, I hope you want to be a faithful daughter. A sister or a brother, who wants to be known as the unfaithful sister or brother? Or a friend, right? Do you want a faithful friend? Of course, everybody does. Well, are you a faithful friend? So the Bible directs this issue of faithfulness toward relationships, and God wants us to be faithful. And of course, God places the highest value on faithfulness in marriage. Every other relationship, faithfulness is very, very important, but faithfulness in marriage is of the greatest importance, because marriage is an image and reflection of him and his faithfulness, right? Malachi chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 5. And of course, let's go after a couple areas of this. First is the issue of sexual faithfulness. Jesus condemns divorce. He condemns adultery. He condemns lust. All in the context of Matthew 5. But that high bar really comes to us, you know, especially in the words about lust, where he says, whoever looks at a woman with lustful intent has committed adultery already with her in his heart. So this is faithfulness, right? And if porn's got you in its grip, marriage will likely not solve that, so you suddenly become faithful. You may wish that was true. It's probably not going to happen. You have to beat it now. And run to Jesus, and run to those that can help you run to Jesus to win by his grace, to be faithful in the area of sexuality. And of course, who wants to be married to an unfaithful spouse? Everybody would be like devastated by that kind of betrayal. And yet, how do we become that kind of faithful person in all aspects of character? It is rooting our faithfulness and our growth in faithfulness in God and the source of who he is. Let's turn our attention just a little bit to this lifelong faithfulness that God has as the plan for marriage, which is a beautiful thing. And I'm going to ask you to consider the example of Robertson McQuilkin. Robertson McQuilkin was the president of a Christian college in his prime, highly respected, just, you know, hitting his stride and doing wonderful things. And his wife progressively declined with a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. And he resigned as president of the college. And I'd like us to listen. This was in 1990. Listen to his words explaining why the resignation. You got that, Justin?
I haven't in my life experienced easy decision-making on major decisions, but one of the simplest and clearest decisions I've had to make is this one, because circumstances dictated it. Muriel, now, in the last couple of months, seems to be almost happy when with me, and almost never happy when not with me. In fact, she seems to feel trapped, becomes very fearful, sometimes almost terror, and when she can't get to me, there can be anger, she's in distress. But when I'm with her, she's happy and contented. And so I must be with her at all times. And you see, it's not only that I promised in sickness and in health, till death do us part, and I'm a man of my word. But as I have said, I don't know with this group, but I've said publicly, it's the only fair thing. She sacrificed for me for 40 years to make my life possible. So, if I cared for her for 40 years, I'd still be in debt. However, there's much more. It's not that I have to, it's that I get to. I love her very dearly, and you can tell it's not easy to talk about. She's a delight. It's a great honor to care for such a wonderful person.
So there's an inspiring kind of faithfulness. Lord, help us, grow us, shape us. Thank you for the faithfulness of Jesus, who forgives us, our faithful high priest, and sets us on this path of growing in faithfulness. Let's talk about friendship. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, is a verse about faithfulness. And it says, many a man proclaims his steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. In other words, it's rare, but it's possible. And of course, Proverbs is all about centering our lives in God and the wisdom of God, trusting in him to direct our steps, shape our life, grow us, to be that faithful friend, that faithful family member, that one who is faithful because he is faithful and growing in faithfulness. Let's talk about as a servant of the Lord. Jesus wants each of us as his followers, as a Christ follower, to be faithful, serving him. This is, as the Bible kind of puts the kind of qualifiers on, hey, what's a good Christ follower look like? Faithfulness comes up high. And I think it's a tragedy that many Christians have this sort of idea that faithful servant of God is, that's for a few people. That's for like pastors and missionaries and a few kind of extraordinary folks who have extraordinary assignments. But actually, God wants every single believer in Jesus to be faithful as a servant of his, to grow in that faithfulness, to say, God, whatever the assignment is that you give to me, I want to do it well. I want to be trustworthy to do what you have given me to do. And of course, that is only possible to be reflecting that in our life by the power and working of his grace, to looking to Jesus and growing in him. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, speaks of what he wants to be the qualifier of his entire ministry, and he points all believers in this direction. It is required of servants, that is, servants of God, that they be found faithful. That word, faithful, that's pistos, the one I mentioned earlier, just the adjectival form of the word pistis there in Galatians 5:22. Paul uses this term of his dependable partners, people like Epaphras and Timothy. They're faithful servants, faithful ministers, right? And so I hope everyone is saying, hey, I want to be one of those. I want to be that faithful servant of the Lord. This is the kind of person you would look for in a spiritual leader. If they don't have that faithfulness already, they're not ready to be moved into a position of spiritual leadership. So you identify this because it's a high quality and high value among those that are involved in leading God's people. Faithful servant. Can we just talk about three aspects of faithfulness? This is a classic TTT summary, time, talent, treasure, right? So what do you do with your time? Are you faithful or are you frittering it, right? What do you do with the talents God has given you? God's given you talents, ways to serve him, things that you have capacities in. Are you using it faithfully or are you saying, no, I'm just, my job is to kind of keep saying no all the time so I can get away with not using my talents? And what about treasure? What about the money God gives to you and invests in your hands? Places there. Are you using it for God, or are you saying, "Oh, this is mine, and I don't need to be faithful"? I want to speak just because it's sort of random, but I'm just going to say I'm going to talk to teenagers right now. So I hope everybody that's not yet in adulthood is listening, but I hope all the adults are listening. I want to say, hey, God, you found a way to make some money one day, right? It was maybe a little bit of a cleanup project, yard work, babysitting, like you're making some money. You got a job to do. And I want to just drill down and explore what faithfulness might look like on that job. Now, if you are babysitting, if you're doing the yard work, were you actually doing the work? Or were the kids running around and you're not really caring for them the way you're supposed to? Were you kind of just lazy and kind of leaning on the shovel rather than getting into the... Now, a faithful servant would be doing that kind of thing well. And of course, doing it well is ultimately saying, everything I do is for God. Everything I do. So whether it's a clean-out project or babysitting, it's really good to be faithful because you're doing it for God. I want to suggest to you that if you're a faithful clean-out project guy or babysitter gal, that is likely a predictor of a lot of good things for you. Like work ethic. Like, are you going to actually work to provide for your family when it's a tough time? Or are you going to be like, it was a tough thing, I couldn't do it, right? Like, you're going to be a good employee. I mean, the kind of people I like working for me are people who are faithful, right? It's not people that are trying to get away with not working. Every boss wants that. Every business thrives under that kind of thing, right? So faithful is so highly important and so highly often underrated in life. So kids and adults, all the way to the end, seek to be faithful. Let's talk about that money that you got from it. So you got a little bit of money. That's a good thing. So does God come into the equation with the use of that money? Investing into him, the kingdom, blessing others? Or is it just like, if you got some money, that's, it's just me, I'm going to get that next electronic device that's all about stuff and me? Or is it like, no, I want to be faithful with this? That's what faithful stewards are, faithful servants are. It's using what God has given them for God in a way that honors God. And of course, he's not against you having some things that you enjoy, but he does expect that he's in the equation with everything that you do and all that you have. And it's that way for all of us, all the way to the end. All Christians are called to be faithful. Let's talk about the little things. Well, you may say some of these things are already little. You talk about babysitting, yard clean out. It's interesting how the Bible places such an emphasis on the small things, the little things. A lot of us think, hey, if I'm not, you know, preaching the gospel to a stadium full of people, if I'm not, you know, winning the debate, live against the world's most renowned atheist or whatever, then, yeah, whatever, I just can't do much of anything. It's like, no, there are just scores and scores of little things that God says, that's really, really important. Be faithful in the little things. What does Jesus say in the parable of the talents? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a whole lot of really big, huge stuff. No. You have been faithful over little. Little things. Both Matthew 25:21, Matthew 5:23. It's the little things and the faithfulness over the little things that matters much. Luke chapter 16, verse says, 16 verse 10 says, one who is faithful over very little is also faithful in much. This is why I think faithfulness in little things is so important. Because if you're going to be faithful in that thing nobody sees that you think doesn't count a lot, guess what? That's faithful. And that means you're going to be faithful when you are in that debate against the atheists on live TV, when you are in that stadium. In fact, God is more likely to entrust you with greater responsibility and resources. The Bible more or less says this, if you're faithful in the little stuff. So why would God give you more responsibility and resources if you're using the little responsibility and resources that you got right now unfaithfully? Whoever's been faithful over very little will also be faithful over much. You have been faithful over little. That's a really big thing. And it says a lot about your valuing God and heart character and reality. And little things in the Bible mean a lot, like a cup of water, just a simple cup of water. That's a big thing in the kingdom. The unseen words you speak. You may say, I'll just kind of let one slip out there and insult somebody. Like, no, that's a big thing. Or the little blessing that you say, that's a big thing. The boy's lunch was a really big thing in the hands of God. So the little things that you have, that assignment that seems little that you've been given, the little bit of gifts you may perceive you have, God says, okay, use that. And I'm pleased. I'm very pleased. The Bible's examples of great givers are typically not the wealthy. It's the poor who are faithful over the little. And God says, that's the heart. That's what I love. Praise God for little thing faithfulness. They matter a lot. I'd like us to go back to our Galatians 5, 22 to 23 lists once again. And just think of it that, you know, faithfulness and little thing faithfulness could be the very expression of the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, right? So if you say, hey, what does it look like to be faithful in a little thing? Maybe what it looks like is to by God's grace, show the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness today that you can, because that's faithful. These are all interconnected, all the work of the Spirit, all for the glory of God, reflecting God and his bountiful, faithful character. So let's wrap up. I hope that something has touched your heart today. If you haven't yet received the gospel, for you to say, oh my goodness, I need Jesus. I need the gospel. I need his forgiveness. I need what he provided on the cross. I need the working of his grace in me. And so if you have not yet come to a personal faith in Jesus, a personal surrender to him, that is the root. The root is faith in Christ, and faithfulness springs from that root as a work of his Spirit. But go to Jesus and receive him if you have not yet received him. Today, take that step. And if you have received him, I want to invite you to the Lord's table. I want to invite all of us here. What a wonderful celebration of faithfulness. As Lamentations 3:23 says, great is your faithfulness. Every day, you saved me, yes, but you show up every day for me faithful. And of course, the cross is the ultimate expression of the faithfulness of God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 calls Jesus our faithful high priest who gave himself as the propitiation for our sins to set us free. So we live lives now because of his grace, him who has destroyed the condemnation of sin and set us free from the power of sin. We worship this faithful Savior. We celebrate this faithful Savior as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Jesus, our faithful high priest who gave himself for us. I want to ask you right now, as we go to the Lord's table, kind of a final thought connected to communion and connected to our own life journey. So let's imagine, brothers and sisters, you're actually seeing some faithfulness showing up in your life. Like, wow, hey, I kept my word. I'm doing better at keeping my word. And I'm really true and faithful as relates to my relationships. And I'm growing in Jesus and more faithful to his assignments to me. Who gets a credit for that? Who gets a credit? It is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Because, why? Because it all is from him. We have a part in it, right, of trusting him, but the work is all from him. It is for Jesus, by Jesus, to become more like Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. All a work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all centers in his finished work on the cross. That's what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. Here's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, reflecting on the cross. He says this, "But far be it from me to boast," that is to glory and the idea of credit giving, "far be it from me to boast except in one thing, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's all from him, all for him, all because of him. So Paul gives glory to him and looks to what he has done on the cross as the summation of that wonderful grace that we have received. And that's what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. All the credit, not only for salvation, but for any faithfulness growing in us, is for him who gives us his forgiveness. The Lord's Supper is for all who rejoice in that great gift. The gift of Jesus who gave himself for us. It's received by grace, and it's celebrating our faithful Savior. As Paul begins Galatians, he says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father." It's all of him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we move into this time of celebrating the Lord's Supper together, as we're beholding your goodness, mercy, and faithfulness displayed for us on the cross, God, I pray that this might be a fitting celebration for us, that you would continue to grow us in your faithfulness. God, that you would, if any be here have yet to turn to Jesus, that this might be the day that they personally received him. For all who have, God, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, not only as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, but as we live our lives every day. Guide us, grow us, shape us, Lord, for your glory as we look to Jesus. We thank you. We pray this in his name. Amen.